This next story is a confluence of immigration policy, of labor practices, and also business and religion. The largest kosher meatpacking plant in the country last spring, Agra Processors in Postville, Iowa, underwent a massive raid by immigration officials. After the raid, suddenly there were allegations that not only was the plant exploiting undocumented immigrants, forcing them to work excessive hours and subjecting them to verbal abuse, but there were also serious allegations that underage workers were on the company's books. Agra Processors is the largest kosher meatpacking plant in the country. It's the largest kosher meatpacker in the United States, with business of about $100 million per year. At least that's how much beef that they buy, meat that they buy. David Levine, a writer for Portfolio Magazine, writing in the November issue, went into the sort of secret inner sanctum of Agra Processors and sought out the Orthodox Hasidic Rabbi Aaron Rabashkin in his Brooklyn office to find out about the story from the perspective of the company and the perspective of the Hasidic community that is responsible for Agra Processors. David joins us here in the studio. David, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
First, describe how difficult it is to actually get what would be fairly routine in a normal business story, a kind of a no comment or this is our statement or, you know, this is how we plan to fight these charges when you're dealing with Agra Processors.
Well, this is not a sophisticated operation. And
it's big, but not sophisticated.
It's very big, the largest or was the largest in the country, but it's not sophisticated. And they responded to the sort of flurry of controversy by closing up. And that has a lot to do with the sort of cultural background of the company. They're Chabad Lubavitch Hasidic Jews out of Brooklyn. So they responded by not responding to anyone, and it took a sort of a lot of work to say, look, it doesn't look great for you guys not to talk to anyone after all these allegations. You should probably give your side of the story to someone.
And what did you find when you got inside? I mean, is this a company that sort of dropped the ball and things got out of control, or was this a systematic practice of really brutality on the job?
It's a difficult question to answer even now. I think the critics will say they knew exactly what they were doing, that, you know, obviously they knew the conditions in their plant. They had to have known that there were underage workers at the plant, and they certainly knew that there were illegal workers at the plant. And so the critics will say, well, these were sort of Dickensian taskmasters, that these were, 19th century overlords. That's what the critics will say. I think that there's also a degree to which these people were extremely unsophisticated, extremely naive.
When you say unsophisticated, what do you mean?
They operated their plant, the largest kosher meatpacking plant in the country, as if it were a deli in Borough Park, which is where the founder, Aaron Rubashkin, still lives. That really had an effect on the entire culture of the plant. Their attitude seemed to have been, well, we asked for documentation, and they gave us documentation. So what more?
If a worker said, hey, I'm 18, and show you a piece of paper, that's fine.
Exactly. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is that may pass in a local deli or restaurant in Brooklyn. People aren't really sort of scrutinizing you that much. But when you're a national corporation, you have to sort of conduct yourself in that way. And I don't think they ever made that cultural shift.
Broadly, how much are observant Jews drawn into this, in the sense that, you know, if you buy sneakers from Nike and you discover that maybe it's not Nike, whatever company, you discover it's in a sweatshop in Thailand and worker issues are a problem, you're sort of drawn into it in some way. How are observant Jews drawn into these scandals, given the level of allegations and the extent to which this company has made front page news?
Well, there was a great deal of sort of controversy in the kosher keeping community and in the Jewish community, both among Hasids and among sort of more, say, secular denominations, less observant denominations. People said, how could a company that is a kosher meatpacking plant, if the allegations are true, run their company so unethically?
Because it's all about being moral.
It's all about
kosher
being ethical.
Is all about being moral. About
being moral, about being ethical, about abiding by biblical standards. And yet this is a kosher meatpacking plant that's accused of treating its workers in many ways worse than the animals they kill.
And what did the founder say?
Well, the founder said, you know, we run an ethical company. We paid them above minimum wage. We, of course, we didn't sort of intentionally go about abusing these people as as some of the workers have accused, verbally abusing the workers. We didn't, you know, our factory was not in as bad a shape as some people say it was. You know, they say we ran an ethical company, and we stand by that. That's sort of been their line.
In a sense, an unsophisticated response to a serious set of allegations that could result in serious hard time for both the runners of agriprocessors and the human resources people who were on line there in Postville, Iowa.
Absolutely. These are major, major charges. These are, and to some degree, they haven't sort of been handling it in the way that a national corporation would.
What hurt you the most, or what struck you the most about the level of abuse and the people who are workers there who are going to carry something, you know, longer than, you know, say, the headlines?
Well, I mean, it's the fact that, you know, so many of these workers left Guatemala and Mexico. They left abject poverty. They paid, in many cases, coyotes to smuggle them across the border. I mean, it was an arduous ordeal to just get here. And then to arrive in the U.S., this sort of land of promise, and to be working 13-hour days for $6.50 an hour in some cases, and then, as the allegations say, subjected to kind of sexual advances, to kind of constant verbal abuse at the plant, to wage exploitation, these sorts of things, what's sort of alleged in this case. That's pretty striking. And in some cases, some of the workers I talked to use the same term that they use for sort of, it's odd, but colonial
overlords right, yeah.
To refer to the supervisors at agriprocessors, wow. Which was absolutely just striking.
Well, David Levine, congratulations on some great enterprise reporting in the November issue of Portfolio Magazine, the story of agriprocessors and the serious allegations they're facing as far as the use of underage workers and abusive tactics, as well as immigration violations on the workplace. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.